Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children. And by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education today.
Welcome. I'm Dr. Richard Tooley, and here today with me is Barbara LaChance. And we're going to jump right into this thing.
Okay.
The book that we're looking at here is entitled Saying Yes to God. That's a very interesting title. It leaves one to ask a lot of questions like saying yes to God about what. And I think there's a subtitle here on this book. Let me get my glasses out here so I can see things. Oh, you have some other books here, too. You have a Blank Canvas and Prayers for the Workplace.
That's correct. Yes.
Very interesting. So, this idea of saying yes to God, where did it come from?
Well, many people have told me that the book is autobiographical and inspirational, and many people have told me that I really needed to write out my testimony. And basically, all my life, I've just had to say yes to God. And so as I was writing this story, I thought, this is what it's all about, isn't it? Constantly saying yes to God.
Yeah, it gets kind of hard to say no to him.
It is. I've tried that, and it doesn't work.
He's not very kind to people saying no to him, but in a loving way.
In a loving way, yeah.
He will bring you around a yes.
He will, yes.
In his own way.
Yeah.
So let's go back and get a little background information to this book, leading up to this book. Tell me a little bit about the story, the journey that leads you to this book.
Well, the story really talks about my family, and this particular book talks about just one aspect of our lives. We started the second community training home in the state of Connecticut for people with developmental disabilities. And as a result of that, we then took in two handicapped children to live with us. One was severely handicapped. She was blind, hydrocephalic, seizure disorder, severely brain damaged, and has cerebral palsy. Yeah. Our son, Philip, has Down syndrome, but he also has pulmonary hypertension, a very severe heart condition. In both those instances, the doctors told us that Gretchen wouldn't live until she was 3 years old, that she would just give up her will to live. Philip would be dead when he reached puberty. Gretchen lived till she was 27, and Philip is 39 and he's still alive. Yeah. So God has just used that to teach us so much about the uniqueness in every individual, how he's called us to just really show his love to other people by who we are and the importance of who we are. And so did that answer your question?
Well, it's starting to get there. I see, sadly, a lot of people who almost do the Good Samaritan routine when they come by a developmentally handicapped person. Mm-hmm. And that is kind of pick up their skirts and make a wide detour. And I don't know that it's because they're mean people as much as they don't know what to do.
People are afraid of handicapped people.
Yeah, it's out of the ordinary for them. And so what's interesting is here you are, who has made a decision to get your hands dirty, to get in there, to be part of the ministry to these people.
My husband came home one day and he said to me, Barbara, God wants us to take in retarded children. That's what they call them back in that day. And we had, previous to that, we had worked with a ministry that worked with people with handicapping conditions, all different types, physical handicap, mental handicaps, adults, young people. And we had established a choir. And we used to go to churches with this group, this motley crew of people, and we used to sing and perform, and we would make instruments that even the person with the severest disability could play. And my husband played the bass, I played the acoustic guitar, and we would perform in the churches, and there would never be a dry eye in the house. And people would tell us, you've shown us that we don't have to be afraid of these people. And people would ask the question, why, how do you, did you have special training to do this work? And I said, no, because they're normal for who they are, so we treat them as normal. And that's the way it worked out. But Jerry said to me, my husband, Jerry, said, God wants us to take in these retarded children. And I said, well, who am I to argue with God? You know, and he has a good ear for hearing what the Father wants. And so I said, okay. And so we started the second community training home in the state of Connecticut when they were deinstitutionalizing and taking all these people out of, you know, these large institutions. So we would go to church on Sunday morning with all our six developmentally delayed people, and we would sit there, and I was a pastor in the church as well, but people were constantly coming up and telling me that they were so amazed that they realized the value of these lives and how they were afraid to have anything to do with them, and it just softened their hearts to who they were, and it changes people's opinion. Now, on the other hand, we've been in places. We took all of them on vacation up to Vermont one time, and we took them all to the pool swimming, and when we walked in, everybody in that place walked out. So I said, praise God, we have the whole pool to ourselves.
Yeah, you got a private pool party out of it.
We have a private pool party, yeah. So people don't know how to relate. It's getting a lot better.
Yes.
But at that time, they really didn't know how to relate.
No, and nor do they really know what is involved in taking care of someone with a development. And each one's different, too,
yes.
Because depending upon the severity of the disability and the nature of the disability, it can be a pretty heavy chore.
Yeah. Gretchen, when she came to live with us, did I mention her disability?
Yeah.
So she had all these disabilities. She's totally blind, you know. She was total 100% care. It was a challenge at times, but she was probably one of the most loving people you've ever met in your life. And she loved worship music, and so we would have worship music playing all day long in the house. And she couldn't speak, but she would communicate through humming, and she would sing the songs that she was listening to. And something about her mind and how it related to the music was amazing. And so she just, and people would come in, and they would sit down next to her because she expected people to do that. And they would put their arm around her, and she would put her head on their chest, and she would start making this kissing sound. And she would get mad if you walked away from her. But people never did. They just loved sitting there with their arm around her and just receiving the love that she was giving them. And everybody who came in the house did that. She was an incredible personality.
I have to ask this because I think this is part of it. A lot of times people who see these disabled people, they wonder, what kind of personalities do they have? Do they have personalities? Is it like, you know, you're walking into somebody who has nothing there, no lights on, porch lights off, shades are down, nothing's there.
Yeah, everybody has a personality. You know, even I haven't met, well, all of the people that I've worked with, every one of them were extremely unique. And some of them, they were extremely helpful. And they wanted to help. And they were very, and you ask them to do a job, and they never complained. My son, Philip, for example, has, no matter what you ask him to do, he does it. He doesn't complain about it. That's his job, and he needs to do it. But his personality is, he's very outgoing, he's very loving, he loves to worship. He'll come up to me and he says, Mom, you should pray for that person. He's extremely prophetic. And we'd be, he doesn't care who's around, he'll just start worshiping God, praising God. He lifts up his hands. We can be in the most conservative church. You know, outgoing, friendly, but he radiates the love of God. And that's what draws people to Philip, because of that way he radiates that love. They all want to be like him because he's so free in his devotion to God. And then there's others who, even their personalities are just naturally grouchy, you know. But they all have personalities. They're all unique.
And we're going to take a break right here, but then we're going to come back.
Okay.
And when we come back, we're going to explore this personality thing a little bit more. Because I think it's important, you know, we as people, we see other people that we call normal because we can relate basically to either the basket they wear or their personality that they let us see.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a different story when we're dealing with people who are challenged. So we're going to come back here in just a few minutes and we'll continue this conversation with Barbara LaChance.
You've been listening to Education Currents. Be sure to like us on our Education Currents Facebook page and consider joining MRG Media in this radio ministry. You can call us anytime at 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783.
You've got questions? God has answers, and they're all found in the Bible. Welcome to God's Treasure Chest. I'm Charles Mills. Let's see what's hiding in God's Word today.
Since the Bible has been translated so many times, how do we know the one we have now isn't a fake?
Have you ever played that game where someone whispers something to someone, and then that person whispers it to the next person? And by the time the message reaches the last player in the circle, it's completely changed. Did that happen to the Bible? Since earliest times, the books of the Bible have been considered sacred to those who collected and copied them. The individuals who did this work took great pains to make sure that every letter, word, paragraph, and chapter was identical to the original. God's treasure chest can be trusted because to the people who translated and copied it, it wasn't a game. It was their life. But here's a greater test. If when reading your Bible you find comfort and encouragement in its pages, then God is still at work, changing lives through the power He placed in the Bible a long, long time ago. The Apostle Paul wrote, "And we also thank God continually because when you received the Word of God, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the Word of God, which is at work in you who believe." 1 Thessalonians 1:13 NIV. If you'd like to learn more about God and His amazing treasure chest, write for your free kids-only Bible course. The address is Treasure Chest, P.O. Box 53055, Los Angeles, California, 90053. Discover the many answers waiting for you in God's treasure chest.
Okay, welcome back. I'm Dr. Richard Tooley, and I'm here with Barbara LaChance, and we are talking about saying yes to God. Now, you've had the unique challenge of God asking you to take care of mentally challenged and developmentally challenged people. And we've brought out the fact that they do have personalities. They have things they like. They have things they don't like. Just like all of us do. But I'm guessing that one of the big differences is they don't cover up like we do.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they don't fit the norm that we think should be the norm. They're ready to kind of march to their own drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And on one level, you know, it's a beautiful thing that our God created everyone as we see them, but that He has allowed us Well, you especially, and other people who are willing to, look in and see that even though these people have the marks of sin, that sin has caused things to happen to them, not their sin, but sin in general, a sinful earth, these people are hurt by it from that standard. They don't know it. They're having a good life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they have a personality.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to participate in life. Now, you've been challenged by God to continue to say yes to Him about doing these things. So, you said, we're going to back up here a little bit. You said you had already had some experience with developmentally challenged people, and your husband, both you were in ministry, and your husband comes home and says, God wants us to be in this ministry space. Mm-hmm. How long did you have to think about that?
You know, at that particular time, I didn't think about it at all. I just said yes immediately. I said, if that's what God wants, I'll do it. I really did. I was actually quite excited when he said that to me. We had one little girl, her name was Anne-Marie LaChapelle, and she used to sing You Light Up My Life with our group, our little singing group, and she was Down syndrome, and we just absolutely fell in love with her, and she was just cute as a button, and she never knew how to finish a song, and I used to have to go up on the stage and say, you can stop now, Anne-Marie, and she's like, oh, okay, and you know, she'd get off the stage. So from when the work that we did, and it seemed like my whole spiritual walk and my whole walk, my husband was born with a physical disability, and he had one arm was deformed. And so we always would gravitate towards those with physical disabilities. And it got to be the norm for us, so that when Jerry came home and said, okay, now we want to bring them in to live with us in our home and raise them with our children, it just seemed like the natural thing to do. The interesting thing, a lot of the book is written from the perspective of my children and their reaction to how they felt growing up in the environment that they did. And they can tell some pretty funny stories. The book really, I was like, you know, writing it, I'm thinking, and I'm laughing myself silly over some of these stories, which are all true. But we had a happy household. It was a very happy household.
So as we talk about this, and this is the other part of the story, which is rather interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
These children know God.
Mm-hmm. Do they know God?
Yeah.
They did when they came to live with us.
Yeah, I mean, you understand why I'm asking this question.
Uh-huh.
I'm asking this question as a unknowledgeable person who is saying, oh, there's somebody who's disabled, and I, you know, they're dumb.
My daughter Gretchen, blind, hydrocephalic, seizure disorder, severely brain damaged, and has cerebral palsy. When I said to her, Gretchen, where does Jesus live? She would point right to her heart. We had one girl, Amy, who is Jewish, and she came to church with us every Sunday. She came to everything that we did. We were very, obviously, I was a pastor. And even before I went into that pastoral ministry, you know, we were constantly going to church. We were going to prayer meetings. We were doing all these things. And these kids all became a part of that. And so when we asked Amy, do you want to be baptized? And she said, yes. You know, and she made that choice because it was who she had become. And I remember one day I was getting in the car with the kids, and a friend of mine who is a pastor who had never met the people we lived with, and he said to me, are they all saved? And I said, of course they are. You know, they all in their own way learned who Jesus was.
So if he had turned around and asked one of them, he would have gotten an answer.
He probably would have, yes.
Yeah. But, you know, he chose not to.
Uh-huh.
And that's one of the points I'm making here, is that oftentimes there may be someone who's sitting there who's developmentally disabled. Mm-hmm. But as an adult, my focus would go around them to someone else who's not.
Correct.
And now I've isolated one of God's children.
Yes.
So we need to be more sensitive to that.
Absolutely. And that's how I see the uniqueness of every individual. God loves that person who's severely disabled as much as he loves you and I. And my husband has an incredible ministry to the elderly, and he works with dementia patients, and he teaches a course to them on how to get to heaven. And he says, how many people in here want to go to heaven? And everybody raises their hand. And there's a peace that comes over him. He teaches them, they all say the sinner's prayer. When he walks in there, there's a peace that comes over them, where just before they might be extremely agitated. God has, you know, if we think of this ever-loving, all-consuming God who cares in, for the whole world, he came that all might know his son, Jesus Christ. We can't overlook those with severe developmental disabilities. We can't overlook anyone, the people with dementia, the elderly, 27 million people in nursing homes today who have literally one foot in the grave and they don't know Jesus. We need to become a people who are willing to stand up and say yes to God. I want to reach these people because there's a need here. The harvest is ready. The workers are few. And so we really need to get people excited and on board with what saying yes to God is all about.
So, I have a group of young people, a young person's ministry. What can I do with these young people to bring them into this kind of a ministry? Because you know one thing about young people always want to be involved in something.
They do, yeah.
Can my young people be involved in this kind of a ministry at some level?
I believe they can. I really do. They can go into, there's still, there. Well, the community training homes are different, but they can volunteer at dances for these kids with developmental disability. They can volunteer with their local organizations. And, you know, one of the things that I find we don't do, we tend as Christians to stray away from things that are open and in the public, where we can't go there because of the music we're going to listen to or hear. But how else are you going to reach these people? I mean, my husband and I will go into our local restaurant in town and bring Philip in, and Philip is like the mayor in town, and he knows everybody. And so the waitress in there has a headache, and so Philip will say, pray for her, Mom. And she gives me her hand, and I pray for her. We're not saying grace. I'm praying that God's going to come and heal her headache. So we have to deliberately put ourselves in a place as Christians where we can go out and we can reach the public. It becomes a normal, natural thing that we do every day. We can evangelize by our love, by our actions, by our deeds, and we promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. And people will eventually know that you're doing it for the love of God. I think that's what we can do for our young people.
I think that what you're talking about is something not only for young people, but for adults too. We've come to the end of our time. The book is Saying Yes to God. It's by Barbara LaChance. How can people get this book?
They can get it on Amazon.com. They can contact me, Barbara LaChance, at GenerationalSolutionsLLC.com. There's also another place, CreateSpace.com, is another place where they can get the book.
Okay, and they would have the opportunity to get this book and any of the other books that you have published there, too.
Yes.
Well, you know, your ministry is a very fascinating one.
Thank you.
And I hope that our listening audience will take this to heart, and if nothing else, engage people who are in nursing homes. Because they need to be engaged just like the rest of us do.
They do.
And we're all God's children in this. And thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
I have one thing left to say. Keep learning.
You have been listening to Education Current, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.